All right, welcome back to Talking Baseball. Bill Lasky in for Marty Lurie, and we have Kerry Crowley coming in this morning. Of course, he covers the Giants at the Bay Area News Group. So let's welcome in Kerry. How are you this morning, Kerry?
Well, Bill, I'm much better knowing that baseball is going to be on the schedule. I'll be honest, even though I'm a Tier 3 individual, I'm a little relieved to know that it was a false positive and that the Giants are going to be back in action. They're not going to be packing six games into that final weekend. So I think it's a really good morning for the Giants and their fans.
I agree with you, Kerry. You were up late, and so was I, trying to figure out when they were going to make a move on this. And, of course, they did it almost after midnight. And what did you find out at that time, or was it just really a statement from MLB?
So, yeah, we were actually informed around 8:30 last night that the Giants were awaiting all of their final test results. The previous round had gone through, and they'd gotten good word on those, so all came back negative. And they needed to have those samples sent to the Utah lab, and they kind of informed us that they'll probably find out close to midnight, and they wouldn't make an official call on the game, at least at the league level, until around 5 a.m. Pacific time. And so you went to bed knowing that they were going to be playing today, and then the official word came down around 5 a.m., I guess. And so you woke up with the expectation that there would be two, and now it's a matter of rescheduling that next game that they also missed over the weekend. And so I'm interested to see how they do that, because there's a number of different ways to do it. But all in all, really good sign for the Giants and the Padres. They can get two games in today, two seven-inning games. Players' rhythm won't be disrupted any more than it was with two off days. And maybe it'll help the Giants. You know, maybe they needed something like a day off or two at this point in the schedule to line up their pitchers. You never know. But I think everyone's breathing a big sigh of relief that they can just take the field again.
That voice you're hearing is, of course, Kerry Crowley. He covers the Giants and the Bay Area's News Group. Bill Lasky in for Marty Lurie. One of the things I noticed all of a sudden, Mike Clevinger on the hill first game, Kerry. They haven't announced the Giants starter, but we assume it's Johnny Cueto. Clevinger, they're coming out with their number one, most likely because he's on a scheduled start date. What do you think about this move?
Yeah, so we were actually just informed that it will be Johnny Cueto against Mike Clevinger today, Bill, in game one. And so I think that that's a good matchup for the Giants. They've got their ace up against the Padres' ace. And if you're the Giants, you're just hoping that Demelson Lamet doesn't throw game two, because he's been the Padres' best pitcher all year. And so they were actually scheduled to face him on Saturday night. And I wonder if San Diego will hold him for its midweek series. But I think the Giants will probably go Kevin Gausman game two, just to try and steal one of these critical games from the Padres. They stack up better against the Seattle Mariners, so I think he can get away with throwing Logan Webb, Tyler Anderson up in Seattle. But then again, the Giants can also throw Drew Smyly in one of those games. So Gabe Kapler has plenty of options right now with the pitching staff. Doesn't surprise me at all that they're going Cueto against Clevinger. They think that that's a matchup that they can win. And then I'll be interested to see, will they hold Gausman back, or will they do a bullpen game? You know, there's many different ways they can play this with seven-inning doubleheaders.
Especially with a day off tomorrow, I liked your idea about Drew Smyly. I think that could be a possibility up in Seattle, depending on how these two games go. Of course, you always want to come out of a doubleheader with a split. You don't want to lose two, and then all of a sudden your back's against the wall, because these games can change so quickly with seven innings. And those are the points that I think this offense of the Giants, they need to come out and swing the bats early today, not like they did on Thursday, because Thursday they were stale.
Yeah, Thursday's not going to work. That's not going to work in any game, whether you're playing the Padres, the Mariners, the Oakland A's like they are next weekend. But Alex Dickerson in the lineup from the left side, Mike Yastrzemski in the lineup as well. They've got Chadwick Trump catching Johnny Cueto. They've actually formed a really good pairing this year. If you look at the advanced framing metrics for catchers this season, Chadwick Trump is the best in baseball, and so he's stealing strikes for Johnny Cueto. So it's really up to the other seven or eight guys in the lineup with Trump in there for defensive purposes to get the job done for the Giants. And Clevinger hasn't been as good as Lamet. He's still, you know, the top guy in that San Diego rotation. He's still the big fish they went out and acquired at the trade deadline with a lot to prove. He was good in his first start for the Padres after giving up an early home run. But I do think he's hittable. I do think that this is a Giants lineup that can grind him down, wear him down. And so the key is getting on the board early, Bill, because as we saw on Thursday, that San Diego bullpen can be lights out if you turn to their top options.
You're absolutely right. And, of course, yesterday we were talking about Justin Smoak. Where was he going to fit in? And sure enough, he's in the lineup today hitting six. So, you know, the good part about it, Marty in the beginning looked up his numbers, 3-for-6 against Clevinger. And I think those analytics are telling the Giants, hey, let's get him in there. And here's a perfect opportunity that he could do some damage in a doubleheader.
You know, I'm actually surprised it's not more at bats against Clevinger, because those two spent so much time against each other in the American League, with Smoke playing for the Blue Jays and Clevinger pitching for the Indians. And so it's good that the Giants have those numbers, 3-for-6. I mean, you'll take that over someone who hasn't faced Clevinger before. And I think that that's probably true for several of the Giants players, including the longtime veterans who've been in the National League for a while, because this is someone who's just getting his first taste of National League baseball. But again, a pitcher that they will have to be exposed to for years to come, and someone who's going to be an anchor in that San Diego rotation. So, like I said, you know, you got to take advantage when you're not facing Deelson Lamet. You have to take advantage when you're not facing that Padres bullpen that just welcomed back Drew Pomeranz, Emilio Pagan pitching well. There's a lot of guys down in there in the Padres bullpen who can throw shutout innings, and that's kind of what you fear in these seven-inning doubleheaders, that, you know, if you don't do damage against the starters, all the starters need to do is get 3 or 4 innings in, and then you can turn it over to your high leverage guys. And so the Giants also have options in their bullpen that can make that work, Bill. And so that's why I don't expect, if Johnny Cueto's pitching well, for him to face a lineup more than 2 times, just because this is playoff baseball right now, and every game matters much more so than it did even at the beginning of the season.
You know, Kerry, we talk about how good this Padre team is. When you have Will Myers and Jake Cronenworth hitting 6th and 7th in this lineup, these guys could easily be 3 and 4 or even 2 and 3 in any lineup. Your thoughts, again, on Jake Cronenworth, because he could be the rookie of the year, a late-blooming second baseman, but he's putting numbers on the board, and I think he's pretty much cemented unless you get a couple other players in there. But he has done an outstanding job as a rookie for this Padre team.
Yeah, you know what, Bill? I'm glad that I'm not voting for Rookie of the Year this year, because it would be an anticlimactic vote. I fortunately got the MVP, and I think another Padres player will be at the top of my ballot this year, and that's Fernando Tatis Jr., only 21 years old, actually younger than Cronenworth, but it's kind of a runaway race, like you said. Cronenworth came out of nowhere. I believe he was traded from Tampa Bay. No one expected him to have this kind of an impact, but he has really solidified himself as an everyday player, went from kind of the utility man role, somewhat similar to what Donovan Solano did last year for the Giants, where, you know, you come in, minor league free agent, no one really thought that he would get a whole lot of playing time, and then all of a sudden, you can't take him out of the lineup. And when you're surrounding Cronenworth with guys like Tatis, Machado, Eric Hosmer, and you mentioned Will Myers, who's just having a tremendous season, that's the reason the Padres are now within 3 games of the Dodgers at the top of the National League West.
Yeah. My buddy here wants to ask you a question. Marty's online. Go ahead, Marty.
Good morning, Kerry Crowley. How are you this morning?
Excellent, Marty. Like I said, baseball's on the docket, so I'm doing well. How are you?
Yeah, very good. And Bill is doing the bulk innings on the show this morning. So,
yes. Were you the opener?
Yeah, we did a great open. We did about a 40-minute open, and he's going to handle some of the interviews as we go forward. But I have a question for you. I was just thinking about it this morning, and, you know, ESPN, all MLB, they're always with this Mount Rushmore stuff. I'm going to ask you, 2020, give me the Mount Rushmore of the San Francisco Giants for 2020, and you can put in manager, coaches, you can put in anybody you want. Farhan, give me your 4 on Mount Rushmore.
Oh, goodness, Marty, that's really tough. I think it starts with Mike Yastrzemski. I think that Mike Yastrzemski's got to be on the Giants' Mount Rushmore in 2020. Donovan Solano, to me, he's right up there with the consistency he's provided. I know the glove hasn't been very good, but Farhan Zaidi acquired both of those players and on deals that didn't cost the Giants anything. And so if you're looking at the way that this roster construction shapes out, and if you're looking at the way that the Giants lineup is structured, I think that you have to throw Farhan in there as well. And so that would leave me with one more player, and probably given the way he's played over the last several weeks, I'd go with Brandon Belt. Just because, you know, he has emerged as a down ballot MVP candidate. I don't think that he's got the same WAR or wins above replacement, but Brandon Belt's right there fighting for the batting title. And if he has a hot 10 days, and we know that's capable, you know, Brandon Belt could be in that conversation for the batting title up there with Donovan Solano and Trey Turner. And so those three guys, to me, it's been much more about the offense this season than the pitching staff. And it's so interesting to say that, because that was not the case throughout the 2010s. And even in 2017, 2018, and 2019, when the Giants were losing, they were still winning on the strength of their bullpen, even last year with Bruce Bochy.
You know, yeah, 15 games, Bill, I'm going to say this before Kerry leaves. 15 games to go. Gabe Kapler now, this is a moment of truth for him. 15 games to go. They're in a tight race. They've got good opponents. You've got bullpen issues. You've got taking starters out, what to do, the lineups. This is the moment of truth, I think, for Gabe Kapler to watch him. He may end up on the Mount Rushmore when it's all said and done.
No question. And if the Giants make the playoffs, Marty, I think you're going to have to put him there, because I think that Gabe Kapler is going to be one of the top three biggest stories of the final 15 games. And I think that he's going to manage these games much like you've seen other young managers manage in the postseason in recent years, you know, where you're pulling starters early, where your tactics are a little bit different, where you're pinch hitting in the third and fourth inning of games to try and get the matchup when you can. I wouldn't be shocked if the Giants were pinch hitting in the second or third inning today if they got a matchup they liked against Clevinger, just because these are seven-inning games. And so every little strategical move that Gabe Kapler makes, every tweak that he brings to the lineup is going to be under the spotlight. And it's going to be fun to watch, because he's really gained a lot of credibility with Giants fans during this hot stretch where, you know, the team went from 8-16 back to 23-22 and has clawed its way back into the postseason conversation. But you're right, Gabe Kapler is going to be the biggest story, or one of the biggest stories moving forward for the Giants this season. It's 15 games for him to show why Farhan Zaidi brought him in.
And you know what, Kerry, looking on the other side, Jace Tingler, same way, a rookie manager. Mm-hmm. Both these guys are really under pressure. Of course, San Diego has a little bit more breathing room, but, you know, you look at Jace Tingler taking over this team, and he's done a magnificent job, and he could easily be the manager of the year in the National League. He's one of them. Final question here, Kerry. You know, when we talk about a doubleheader, it's so important to win the first game. In your mind, tell me your thoughts about this doubleheader and how much it important it is for the San Francisco Giants.
Well, you got to split. You absolutely have to split, Bill. And I know that they'd love to take game one, particularly up against Clevinger. And I don't know if it's Lamet in game two, but if it is, that makes game one all that much more important, because Dinelson Lamet's a Cy Young candidate. He probably won't win it with the way that Trevor Bauer and Yu Darvish have been pitching this year, but goodness, he is so fun to watch. And I think that, you know, from a watchability standpoint, he might be my favorite pitcher in the National League. But, you know, it puts all that much more importance on game one. With your ace going and Johnny Cueto, with the lineup shaking out the way you want it to, and Alex Dickerson, Mike Yastrzemski, Justin Smoak, the left-handed hitters in there, I think that, you know, the Giants need to split, and their best opportunity is probably going to be in this first game to pick up that win.
Kerry, once again, thanks for taking some time off. I know Marty wants to say goodbye to you also.
Yeah, boy, Kerry, you sound very awake today. This is very
He's
good.
He's fired up, Marty.
I just had my morning coffee, so I'm already
I can tell. Where are you watching the game today?
From the living room couch. So, yeah.
All right.
Split screen with the 49ers.
Oh, okay.
Right. That's very good. Hey, you know, I was going to tell you, original Josanne and Westlake, John Dugan sent me a picture yesterday. They're constructing a beautiful outdoor patio for outdoor dining in Westlake. So I wanted you to know that, and he told me to make sure I send you that picture.
Well, Marty, I wish John Dugan the best, because under these challenging circumstances, I never thought in my life that we would see outdoor dining in Westlake. I don't even think that climate change could bring about outdoor dining in Westlake. But that is an ambitious endeavor for John Dugan, and I wish him nothing but the best, and I'll go sit out there.
Yeah, I'm going to send you the picture. Wait till you see it. It's pretty interesting, but they've got that coming up. Well, great to have you on, as always. Good report. I'm glad you're awake today. I could tell that there was something cooking with you today.
Well, you know, you get you and Bill together, Marty, and I'm all for it.
I like being the opener, and Bill's the bulk innings guy. I love it. That's great.
Yeah, different role for Bill, huh?
I love it. Bill's been great. It's fabulous. He's got a great show coming up, and I'll kick in here every once in a while and say something.
We're going to throw Marty a bone here once in a while, Kerry. You know how we got to do that. Keep him alive.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, you can't forget who got this all started.
That's right. 100% there, Kerry.
Right.
Thanks again.
We appreciate
your time.
Have a good one.
All right.
Boy, Marty, he was fired up. Boy, he had some energy flow there.
I can tell.
Yeah.
I knew there was something.
Well, I think that breakfast of his that his mom and dad made for him and that cup of coffee finally, it made him alive, which was good. He had a good report by Kerry, as always.
We love FX and Nancy Hayden Crowley. They're good supporters of the
show.
Good
people.
Good job, Bill. Good interview. So go ahead. You can take us out and get us ready for what's coming
up. Yeah, we're going to take you out and get into Mark Sweeney, who also works with the San Diego Padres, get his thoughts on what this doubleheader means for the San Diego Padres coming up next on KNBR, the sports leader.